Hello, hello, everybody. It's Michael again, and we are at the Alps Conference 2023. It's day two, and we have the pleasure of not being alone. Hello, Marco.
Hey. Hello, Mike.
So we're having fun, and we're hearing a lot of different conferences and speakers, and I can really tell you it's amazing. So if you want to listen to them, of course, we'll put them in the podcast, but you can also go to the YouTube channel, and you will see all the videos. And today, we have the pleasure of meeting Vanja Palmer. Hello, Vanja.
Hello, Michael.
So just to introduce you a little bit, you are a Zen monk. You were born in Austria and grew up in Switzerland. And you have experimented with meditation as a Zen monk, of course, but also with psychedelics. And there was a great movie made 2 years ago on what you did and the test you did with, I think, Fallenweide, which is really well known in the space. Descending the Mountain was the name of the documentary. I loved it. It was really amazing. And here you were in today to talk about meditation and psychedelics. So pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. Very kind.
So maybe to start, where did your interest in meditation come from, and then also in psychedelics?
Well, that is an easy question to answer. Very clearly, it was a few micrograms of mushroom derivative, also known as LSD, that threw me out of the familiar ruts that I was in my career, that I was a student at the University of Zurich. And in that, I'm a typical representative of a whole generation who turned on, tuned in, and dropped out. Mm-hmm. And so that was basically my entrance into meditation, was clearly through a mystical experience prompted by LSD. And the LSD, I dropped out of curiosity. I was always curious in life and tried out many things.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Zen monk?
How did you... Well, that then for a few years, I considered myself to be a yogi, walked around like that in all white and did a lot of practices. And then somehow, through circumstances, I ended up in New York and bought a Harley Davidson and drove across the country and then ended up in Tassajara, the oldest Zen monastery outside of Asia, and more or less stayed there for 10 years and lived the life of a monk.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Very interesting. Do you know that the NZZ has called you the most dangerous man in Switzerland? Why is that?
Well, it's actually the quote, the article was actually quite nice, not mean. And the quote is a play of words that Nixon called Timothy Leary the most dangerous man of America. Ah. And it says that in the article, that because I was proposing probably similar radical ideas in that interview, which was originally an interview on animal rights, but it got changed a little bit in the process.
Very, very funny.
I usually hear people putting psychedelics on one side and spirituality on another side. And actually, based on your experience, how is the use of psychedelics in harmony with being a Zen monk?
Yeah, a good question. I find these things very compatible. And in that survey of the tricycle, like over 60% of the practicing Zen people said that they could well imagine a combination of these two methods. That how that exactly will look, we will have to find out. I mean, sacraments or substances have been on the root of, I believe, all high religions. And more and more scientific evidence is coming up now that, including Christianity and Judaism and Buddhism and Hinduism. In Hinduism, it's very clear. I mean, the Buddha went into, so the story, after he left the palace and he became an ascetic, he went into the forest and studied with all the masters. And we know these masters up to this day, that the Babas, the naked Babas, and there are thousands of them, tens of thousands, they're well versed in these psychedelic substances. And it would be very unlikely that he would not have tried those things in his career. So how to combine them, we'll have to find out. My teachers always were quite open to it. I have two formal teachers. One is a Benedictine monk, now 98. He's not a psychonaut by any means, but he tried everything. And he wrote interesting and supporting things about it. And my other, the Zen teacher, has died many years ago, 20 years ago. But he tried out also just about anything and he also had positive things to say about it and encouraged me to proceed on the path that I have taken.
If I do remember well, the introduction before your conference was around the answer to the question, who am I? And is it not related to the same quest, psychedelics and spirituality are willing to address this question, who am I?
Absolutely, I totally agree. And they're quite different approaches in some ways to the same question, the ultimate question of our being that we have to we forget. And as a little child, we still know. But then to grow up, to become a person, to be able to live in this world, we have to put that sort of on a back burner. We have to function, we have to do things. But the real question again and again is, who are we? What are we doing here? And there's no easy answer to that. And it's a process that Rilke calls it, we kreisen around the old tower for thousands of years, and we don't know, are we a song or a bird or the wind? So the mystery of, we don't know who we are, and we have to face that unknown, and we have to be able to live and express in our life the fact that we are not knowing.
Mm-hmm. And to this purpose, what is mind medicine?
Well, medicines have been explicitly permitted to monks. Monks and nuns can have four things. They can have shelter, they can have clothing, and they can have food, and they can have medicine. Explicitly permitted to have medicine, and I see them as medicines to help our twisted, sick minds, which as a culture and as individuals we generally have, as a culture particularly, to help them to some sanity.
Well, you were saying the culture as a sick mind. So how do you view the culture or, let's say, the society actually? And why is it sick, according to you?
Well, in some ways you could say that it's not a pleasant thought, but that we humans have in the biological sphere become a cancerous growth, which we grow very fast at the expense of many other parts of the world, and it's a suicidal path we're on. Obviously, on all levels that we look, we are too many, and we behave in a totally unsustainable way. So that's one sign of unhealthiness. But maybe even more directly, we are not so happy. We seem to, the paradigm that we live on, that we are told by advertising and so forth, well, you're not happy. Well, of course not, because you need a new car or a new job or a new partner or whatever. That kind of going out consumerism is very, very strong in our culture. And it seems to be such an attractive model that most of the rest of the world wants to follow that. A few that don't want, well, those we force. But most of them voluntarily want to try to become what we have and do. But are we really so happy?
Good question. And how do you think psychedelic or meditation can help us in this way?
Well, bringing awareness, bringing consciousness to these facts and looking at taking the time, stopping. Well, psychedelics stop you. We can attest to. Well, meditation also, you stop. You actually, if possible, every day, it doesn't have to be for hours, but just for a few minutes, 10 minutes, to actually stop and to come back to to our being, to our body, to our mind. Where is my body? How does it feel? Where is my mind? How does it? Usually we are so busy that we don't even pay any attention to that. So both meditation as a daily practice, and you can do that also during the day, very helpful. You know, you make telephone meditation. Every time the phone rings, instead of immediately going and answering it, you stop. You take one breath. You stop. You take one breath. And you come back to yourself. And then you answer the phone. And then you're actually there to answer whoever is calling. So these are sort of little helps that are traditionally used in monasteries and temples. But we can use it in our daily secular life to stop. In the morning, you know, including like we brush our teeth and we make some tea and so forth. Well, why not take 5 or 10 minutes where you light a stick of incense or a candle or sit down or just look out the window. Just stop and come to your senses, come to your feeling and thinking and mind. And that I think that is to me the key is presence and awareness.
Well said. And when you see everything that those tools exist, what are your hopes for the future? You are at a psychedelic science conference. How do you see the future?
If I look critically as my mind, it doesn't look so good for the human species. For the big picture, no problem. The world, thanks God, man, we are not that powerful. The insects will survive us and many things will survive. Life goes on, which is just an episode on that one. On a very small scale, personally, I'm an old man. I have had a good life. And if it happens now, I hope I'm ready. For the human species, it doesn't look so good. It doesn't look so good. But again, that not looking so good may very well be part of a bigger picture that we just don't see and know. So I really trust the whole process. I trust evolution. I haven't gotten myself here on my own doing. I just find myself here, and there's obvious the totally other forces in play, and we're just a tiny little part of it. So I trust the whole process, and even if that means that probably the human species is not going to be on this planet forever, which, I mean, we know for sure, but maybe it's sooner than we think. And if we don't learn to be, if we learn to be more compassionate and wiser, we could easily revert a lot of the problematic things that we, behavior and that we do. But it doesn't look like it. We are, if anything, going more and faster in the wrong direction. So, but even that, I look and then it's probably good if we don't, the way we treat our fellow earthlings, it's so terrible, the animals, how we treat them in industrial farming and in laboratories, then it's good that we go. If we don't wake up to be more compassionate and more wise, then it's good that we go.
Well, it's very profound words, and I appreciate it. Thank you. And if people want to learn more about you, about what you do, and about the community you lead as a Zen monk, where can they go?
Into themselves.
That's well said. Very good.
I will put a few links on the webpage.
Exactly.
I guess.
And because Anja didn't want to speak about Velsentor, I think it's a beautiful place that you are at near the Rigi, near Lucerne, which is a beautiful